You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, or should I say hello now?
No, I like that. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. The hits keep coming for the Cleveland Browns. Left guard Joel Bitonio to miss extended period of time due to a midfoot injury. I saw him after the game. I knew he was going to get his foot checked out. I did not know that it would result in this extended period of time. Joel Bitonio will be out for the Cleveland Browns. Shed some light on why they signed Jonathan Cooper.
Yeah.
Can come in and play guard for them. It's good that you're getting Cam Irving back at center. But another hit for a guy who, outside of Joe Thomas, has been by far and away the best lineman for the Browns.
But hold on. Like, less than a week ago,
he was in the
studio. He sat right across from him, and his face beamed with his ability to be out there and
be healthy.
Be at 100%. And not be playing through an injury and not playing with any orthotics in his shoes or having to, you know, to do, you know, rehab and prehab before and after every football game for his feet and his ankles. And it's just so unfortunate because Joel's such a great guy and still a focal point for this football team. You know, a young player in his, what, third year? Third year, playing very, very well. And, you know, I'm sure a guy that wants to be out there with his buddies the same way that Josh McCown has said he wants to be out there with his guys. And a guy, as I said, a cornerstone for this organization who very likely, probably if he continued, and I'm not trying to say that it's not going to happen, it will, but would have earned him a contract extension, is one of those guys that is a part of our future, a huge part of our future.
And I think he still is, but
I know he's in the plans.
Of course.
You want him to go out there and see him out there. Exactly.
Yeah, and it's very, very unfortunate. You want to see him out there. And unfortunately for Joel Bitonio and the Browns, that will not be the case. Cody Kessler, we will hear from him on today's show. It does seem like he is going to be able to go on Sunday, against the Tennessee Titans. Josh McCown being eased back into things would not surprise me. I know he's able to be back today, but would not surprise me if Kevin Hogan ends up ultimately being the backup on Sunday for Cody Kessler. Charlie Whitehurst was not healthy. That's why they moved on from him. Josh McCown getting back, getting ready. So I do expect Cody Kessler to start for the Browns at quarterback on Sunday. And again, it is time to get ready for this Tennessee Titans team. Cody Kessler, we'll hear from him. We've got after further review. And we should have Sir Andrew Gribble, 2:30 for Wednesdays with Gribbs as opposed to the usual Tuesdays. It's also Mailbag Wednesday, so tweet the show using the hashtag AskCBD for all of your Browns questions. But Matt, again, the hits keep coming for this team, and it's just it's one thing to be losing. It's another thing to be losing players
right
every single week. Losing games is bad enough.
And what stinks about this, as I said, you know, pointing out the success that we had against Washington, the success that we had against Miami, and obviously, you know, New England came out with a plan and really stymied us in the run game. And it was, as you talked about the guys we're going to get back, Cam Irving's inching closer, and you know, the addition of Jonathan Cooper. But the focal point of what was allowing us to run the football was Joel Bitonio on that power play. And it was funny to hear him talk about it as well. You know, about 8 or 9 times in a row I was pulling on a play. And that just adds to what we can do as an offense. You can get the pop pass action. You can run power down their throat. You get, you know, a very physical right side, I believe, in Austin Pastore and Alvin Bailey, where they're really mowing these guys down, getting on their down blocks or kicking a guy out, and here comes Joel Bitonio, you know, a very athletic and physical player pulling around. No wonder Isaiah Crowell has these big holes to run through. And so I think, you know, we lose a little bit of the physicality that we have brought through the first 4 or 5 games of the football season with Joel Bitonio being out, let alone the amount of snaps that he's played next to Joe Thomas. Now someone else has to play next to Joe Thomas, and Joe Thomas has to build that rapport, and someone's got to essentially play catch-up to the level of elite status that Joe Thomas plays the football game at.
Absolutely, and you know, it looks like Jonathan Cooper's going to come in and get right thrust right into action. John Kosko let us know he allowed 1 sack and 2 hits on 312 pass block snaps last year, so he does good in pass protection, which is something the Browns need. But in terms of run blocking, their bread and butter was running right with a pulling Joel Bitonio, and that's going to be out of the game. You don't know, first of all, pulling, I think, involves a lot of timing, with the offensive line, with the footwork, getting behind the center and coming around.
And it's not something
you just pick up in 5 days.
No, it's not something you pick up in 5 days. And be very honest with you, it's, you know, I watch it at the high school level. You see guys at some of the, you know, the lower to mid-tier college football teams is they get up out of their stance, they pull around, and some of them hit nobody. You know, because they don't have the balance, they don't have the physicality, or they don't have the, you know, the arm strength to latch onto some of these backers who are, or they're trying to make you miss. And for you to go color on color when you pull a guy around and get Joel Bitonio and what happens as people who don't necessarily understand football, instead of lining Malcolm Johnson up in an I formation or a near formation, which means he's set in the backfield to the tight end, and run Malcolm Johnson on an old school ISO, because he's not really a true thumping fullback, we accomplish the same thing where we stretch the defense and kick everybody out. We down block with the guard and get a double team with the center up to the backside backer. And Joel Bitonio, as an athlete and physical player, is pulling around and getting up on that backer. So instead of Malcolm Johnson hitting the backer at the line of scrimmage, Joel Bitonio is getting around and hitting that backer at 2 yards defensive depth, which is allowing Isaiah Crowell to run the football essentially up his back and make a cut, you know, at 2.5 or 3 yards, which is something that I know you've pointed out on Browns Countdown and on this show, is he's no longer getting hit at the line of scrimmage because there is a surge offensively. And he's getting into the defensive side of the football and then able to fall forward for that 4 yards or break that tackle for 8 yards, 10 yards, 20 yards.
And he has been a big part of it. When you look at the best run blocking grade on the Browns offensive line, it is Joel Bitonio per Pro Football Focus. Running behind Bitonio this season, they are averaging 11.6 yards per carry. They're not north of 6.5 yards per carry anywhere else. Joel Bitonio has been the best run blocker on this team, and this is, in my opinion, considered to be a fairly big, fairly significant loss for this team. You don't want that to happen, and unfortunately, it has. That's kind of the big story, I think, obviously, of the day. Again, another tough one. For those who missed it, Kevin Hogan added to the active 53-man roster along with Gabe Wright, and the team released Charlie Whitehurst. Fabiano, who they brought in from Harvard, the offensive lineman, he's back on the practice squad. He was called up last week, didn't need him, cleared waivers. Now he's back with the Browns, so he should be good to go. We will not have Hugh Jackson on this show today. His press conference today will be at 3:15, so that will be after we are off the air. But he should have the latest on Bitonio and the quarterback situation for you now that they've had 1 day of practice in. And Matt, for coaches, how does it impact their ability to come in and put in a game plan on a Wednesday like this when, you know, you don't know what Cody Kessler physically is going to be able to do, and really the only healthy quarterback you have on your roster right now is another rookie in Kevin Hogan?
Well, I think the game plan is going to be very similar to what we've seen Cody Kessler handle throughout the last 3 football games and in preparation for the Patriots week. There's not going to be a lot of new formations, a lot of new shifts. There's going to be a couple different route combinations that you feel are going to be successful against whatever football team, and in this week it's the Tennessee Titans, defensively give you, and you want to exploit those situations, but there's a lot that goes into it because Hugh Jackson has to make the right call, you know, in anticipation of having the right coverage. Then Cody Kessler's got to understand that coverage being on the football field and make the throw properly. So I would not be surprised if a lot of the same route combinations are a part of our game plan without really knowing if Cody Kessler is going to be available. And then lastly, too, Hogan has taken snaps and sat in those meetings to understand the most recent game plans as well. And he's still just growing into becoming an NFL football player, an NFL quarterback for that matter. And so adding a whole bunch of new stuff to him without ever really practicing in this offense is a reach.
And that's what I wanted to ask. He's only been here on the practice squad. So what exposure to our own offense has he gotten, if any? Because I would imagine all he's been doing is running the scout team.
He has. It's all he's been doing is running scout teams. But you'd be surprised how much information you can absorb with the amount of time that these guys spend in the meeting room. So when Hogan is in these meeting rooms, and Hugh Jackson or Pep Hamilton, whether they're spending some time with the wide receivers, and maybe Al Saunders is running the tape, all the film that they watch all week, Hogan can sit there and watch, and the questions that Cody Kessler asked throughout the week in regards to the game plan, or any pointers that Josh McCown or Robert Griffin III point out as they watch the film as well. And that's all he's soaking up right now. But what's been missing, and I think what's very important, is his ability to go out on the practice field and take those reps. And that's what, even furthermore, as I talked, you know, with the inclination that, you know, Josh McCown could potentially take reps this week, I think what we have to find is a happy medium of how Hugh Jackson divvies up those first team reps or the starting offense reps, because, as I said, are Kessler and McCown 50-50 really gets you nowhere. No one's really ready for the football game the way they should be, because it's usually 75, you know, 25, 80, 20 starter to backup. And now you bring Kevin Hogan into the mix. Is McCown in the mix? Is he not? I think that's something that's going to be seen today at practice, you know, is that first, you know, few open periods are available to the media to see, is he throwing? What velocity is he throwing it with, you know, and who essentially is the first guy up when they do some of those one-on-one, you know, kind of warm-up routes with the wide receivers? Who's making those throws first? Because I think that's as it has been throughout training camp, that's your best inclination. It's not just the vet. It's the starter. Gets those first reps to develop that rapport the best they can, you know, 3-4 days ahead of that football game.
And let me just say, Hugh Jackson chose his words carefully. Josh Kahn's going to be able to practice week. He did not say he was cleared to play.
Correct.
I think you're operating under the assumption that your healthiest quarterback is Kevin Hogan. The guy most likely to start is Cody Kessler. And then Josh McCown might not even be able to be up on Sunday yet. I don't think we know enough yet about exactly where he is. So that, to me, is something that that's something that bears watching. And hopefully we will get some type of a clue on that. But to me, that is something that is at the heart of what's going on here. And that is, we don't know whether or not McCown can go.
We don't.
And that's going to be a big determinant in whether or not he is obviously able to be a factor.
But again, hearing the sound that we played yesterday while we were on remote from Discount Drug Mart of Josh McCown, he was upbeat in his comments and optimistic and hungry to get back out there. So it wouldn't put past Josh McCown to be able to play. Here's what gets it for me. If Cody Kessler is recovering from contusions, you know, on his ribs and chest, that's essentially a deep bruise. Whereas Josh McCown's recovering from a broken bone, okay? Where at any point, if you give Josh McCown the 80 or the 75% of those reps and he takes those all week and Cody Kessler continues to recover from those contusions but only getting 25% of the reps, Josh McCown goes out there, takes a hit in the first series, you know, or second series of the football game the same way that Cody Kessler did, and then Kessler's thrust back in the action after only getting 25% of the reps, and now Kevin Hogan becomes our backup getting no reps. So it's a juggling, you know, act right now for Hugh Jackson to determine, okay, who is black and who is white. There isn't you can't live in a gray area, and it's not ideal in any way, shape, or form, because if we had it our way, Robert Griffin III would still be starting for this football team. You know, so right. But it's got to be very black and white on who is up and who is down. And I think you learn that through maybe the first half hour to 45 minutes of practice today, and then Hugh Jackson makes that executive decision. Can't make it right now, you know, standing in this building or sitting in a meeting room right now. It's got to happen when they get out on the practice field and they see, you know, and get the feedback from the players, and then you actually dive into some of those team, you know, 9-on-7, 7-on-7, and team periods in practice when you really get going on the Tennessee Titan game plan.
And you got to get in there, and obviously the quarterback's the important part. Your offensive line, critical if you want to run the football. Your best run blocker is now out. The hits keep coming in. Joel Bitonio to miss extended period of time with a mid-foot injury for your Cleveland Browns. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850 on Cleveland Browns Daily. Also, don't forget to get in your questions. Use the hashtag AskCBD, and we'll get to your Browns questions as we roll on here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Cleveland.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan's girl, Matt Wilhelm. My Mopedman. All right, here we are on this Wednesday getting ready. Again, we will hear from Cody Kessler. We will also have Andrew Gribble with us on the show. Cody Kessler at the bottom of this hour. You know, one thing about Cody Kessler is that I know from talking to some of the veterans on this team, he's earned the respect of the guys in the locker room in his preparation and his play and his toughness. He wanted to go back into that game against the New England Patriots. He was not allowed by the doctors, and hopefully he'll be ready to go this Sunday. But that earns a lot of respect, I think, with guys because, you know, it's obviously a tough game. Everybody's playing hurt, as we talked with Xavier Cooper about yesterday. So for a young quarterback to come in, who's played, I think his on-field performance has exceeded what I would imagine reasonable expectations were. And he's showing the toughness and the leadership. How far does that go in the locker room?
It goes far. And I think, as I always say, you know, I had to do it to earn that respect as a rookie. And then every class thereafter, as you know, you become a veteran in the NFL. And this is, of course, you know, talking to some of the guys, you know, Corey Lemonnier in his fourth year is a veteran in that room. Xavier Cooper in year two is almost like a veteran in that defensive line room without, well, now Steven Paya, but, you know, no Dez Bryant in so long for a long time, is you always pass judgment on rookies, especially, you know, positions like quarterback. Can he make the throws? Does he look like a potential NFL quarterback, you know, either now or down the road from a development standpoint? You definitely pass judgment on the number one picks. If you were not a number one pick, I was not a number one pick. So you always are kind of like rough and a little standoffish when it comes to, you know, letting those guys in until they prove their value to you. And that happens in training camp. That happens in the offseason. It's a couple flash plays that you just step back and go, whoa, that kid can play. Or look at that throw. Or in this case, it's Cody Kessler's ability to, you know, to step up, to take all that Hugh Jackson probably gives him in 1 week's basis and absorb that and go out and put this football team with, I'll say it, all the deficiencies they have, including those injuries, with opportunity to win two of the last three football games. And one, he left the football game when it was tied 7-7. So there is a lot of respect for that guy, and I think that once you get it, you don't lose it. Unless you do something stupid, you know, unless you start, you know, pooping down your leg or you do something stupid off the field, you don't lose that respect. So Cody Kessler has definitely risen up to that occasion. And I think that the players, you no longer doubt with a guy like Cody Kessler each and every Sunday that, oh, we've got to play a certain way because Cody Kessler's our quarterback. It's, I know what Cody's going to do. If we do our job, Cody can lead us to victory. That is the type of respect that a guy like Cody Kessler earns over the course of what we see in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, and you want to see him continue to develop. This is clearly a year for development for the Cleveland Browns, and you want to give Cody Kessler the opportunity to do that. How big of an impact do you think Betonio has on the ground game? And we talked about it in the opening, but does that change the game plan at all?
Yes, it does. I think it definitely does. And a lot has to do with the front that the Tennessee Titans are going to line up and where our double teams are going to come and how long do we have to stay on those double teams. Or, you know, maybe it's a front that we don't have to double, that we can just single block everybody and we can steal, you know, an extra gap by adding in a fullback because we're not going to be pulling as much. Or maybe Jonathan Cooper, if he is in fact the guy that's going to replace Joel Bitonio, surprises you with how quickly he grasps some of the concepts in the ground game, you know, for the Cleveland Browns, and he's athletic, you know, what, 6'2", 3'10", whatever it might be. If he's going to come in as a mauler, if he's a little bit more of a finesse player, you know, that I don't know. I don't know enough about Jonathan Cooper, but if you see some of the flashes of Joel Bitonio in Jonathan Cooper, then you can grasp and kind of go back to the well on the game plan that you've put in with Joel Bitonio. But when you start to understand, you know, the five guys that make up your offensive line, you also first go, okay, what are their deficiencies? What do we have to protect against? And then you also have to go, well, what do they do well? This guy's got great feet. This guy's got bad feet. This guy's a little, you know, not a great puller. So maybe in this case, it's, you know, Jonathan Cooper and John Greco, you know, with the down blocks and Alvin Bailey pulling, you know, left. So we go left, which is not ideal because I don't think, Joe Thomas is the Pro Bowl. He's a Pro Bowl offensive lineman, and I get it. And he does his job in the run game, but he is the best in the pass game. So it just, you got to mix and match right now.
And, you're getting Cam Irving back, who's never played, taken probably a rep with Jonathan Cooper, obviously, before this week.
Correct.
And he's coming back in. He's going to be a little bit rusty, you would imagine, after missing 3 weeks. So just a lot of turmoil on an offensive line that has, you know, had its struggles recently, had been doing a great job and really carrying this offense. Because at the end of the day, when you're running the way the Browns did, it takes the pressure off of Cody Kessler, takes the pressure off this offense, allows you to set up play action. And we saw just last week from the New England Patriots how effective play action passing certainly can be.
Yeah, and like I said, the play action pass of the New England Patriots, it's the flash of the football that you put out there to create a little bit of doubt and uncertainty in the defensive backs and the linebackers and safeties' minds before that route comes right in behind you. And with an accurate quarterback like Tom Brady, he can beat you up. And I think in our case, you know, if it is in fact Cody Kessler, that accuracy comes into play with being able to run the football. Otherwise, Cody Kessler dropping back the pass 35 to 40 times in a football game, you might as well chalk it up. It just doesn't play to our strengths as a team with the playmakers that we have right now. It doesn't play to our strengths with the offensive line to have to protect that much without having played a lot of football together. Or actually, they're going to play no football together with the lineup that we're going to put out there for the first time.
Yeah, and it's tough, and you're going against another good front. Jarrell Casey's going to be up there. Rockpo's going to be up there. Jarrell Casey, one of the better interior defensive linemen. We talked with Xavier Cooper about the guys that he tries to model his game on, and one of the names he came up with was Jarrell Casey from the Tennessee Titans. So it's not going to get easier. Last week was the first week where you didn't play a guy considered to be a superstar up front, and we know what happened. It was not good up front.
Right.
So this week it's going to only be tougher for the Cleveland Browns. Using the hashtag AskCBD, you can ask us questions. G.I. George says, with all these other rookies starting, what is up with Drango and Coleman? Is Austin Pastor that much better than them? And if the answer to that is yes, is that concerning? We've heard they like Drango. We've heard they like Coleman, but they're not getting significant playing time. And Coleman, in fact, has not gotten any playing time.
And the reason behind that is, if there are opportunities for Sean Coleman, Spencer Drango to get extensive reps in practice, or maybe even over on the practice squad. The look squad. The scout team, if they're getting those reps, because those are viable reps for you to practice the techniques that Hal Hunter has been instilling in you over the last 4 or 5 months since you've been drafted here to Cleveland. And if you're not putting out a quality product, you're not even in the conversation when Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown or Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton and Kirby Wilson construct the game plan it's more of a detriment to have that young player because you don't know where they're at. And I think that goes back to the consistency. I don't think a lot of the reason why these guys might not be playing, and I don't know this to be true. This is, again, me just analyzing, is they haven't consistently shown these coaches enough that they can handle a 10-play drive without making a mistake or 7 plays. And that goes from the communication, that goes to the footwork, that goes to alignment, and that goes into the execution of their blocks in the pass and run game.
It does, and again, you talk about this team, Jarrell Casey right now, former third-round pick, but all-pro, second-team all-pro in 2013 and in 2015. Last year in the Pro Bowl, 7 sacks, 28 quarterback pressures. Already this year, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, 9 pressures, pass defense, 17 tackles. This is going to be tough for them up front. In the middle, they've got a big man out of Auburn, Angelo Blackson, 6'4", 318, and then Daquan Jones, who's also another big guy. All of them have tackles for losses. All of them can get to the quarterback up front, and then that paves the way for Derek Morgan and Arakpo on the outside. Arakpo, by the way, did you know this?
What?
6 sacks already this year.
Does he lead the NFL?
For Brian Arakpo. No, Von Miller does.
Well, he's got 6.5?
Let's see.
I think he might have 6 too.
No.
No? 8 through 5? No way.
He's Von Miller, man.
Yeah, I think he's got 6.5. That's my guess.
Then he's up there, obviously, speaking of Arakpo. He is last year he had 7 sacks all season.
You remember 2 years ago when Brian Arakpo became a free agent? And I know at that time, you know,
we wanted him.
Our construction of our roster was a little bit different.
It was much more better.
I was a fan of Brian Arakpo.
The leader in the league is Lorenzo Alexander of Buffalo with 7. Miller 6.5.
I was right.
Arakpo 6.
Well,
How about the Buffalo Bills? They have the league leader in tackles, Zach Brown, and sacks, Lorenzo Alexander.
Maybe they got that scheme fixed.
Yeah.
Rex probably turned it over to someone else, not his brother.
What?
Said Rex probably turned it over to someone else that's not his brother.
Yeah, maybe he did. Maybe he did. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Cody Kessler, the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, will speak with the media. You'll hear what he has to say. Again, the expectation is that he will play. Again, I'm not counting on Josh McCown this week. Would not be surprised if Kevin Hogan backs up Cody Kessler this week. There's a reason they moved him to the active roster. There still is uncertainty at that position. We'll have Cody Kessler next on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Let's go to the podium now and hear from Cody Kessler updating us on his injury and the expectation of whether or not he will start for the Browns this Sunday against the Titans.
Cody, how are you feeling?
Better. Good, yeah. It's just been rehabbing it the last few days and doing treatment, you know, numerous times a day, and it's feeling better.
Good to go for practice then? Good to go for practice?
Yeah, I'm going to practice. I'm going to get a little practice in today here and there and just see how it feels and throw. And got to throw yesterday a little bit, and it was just a little sore, but just, you know, day to day. And it's the best part about it is just improving. It feels a lot better.
What is the biggest thing you're dealing with? In terms of having to throw?
It's just sore. Just more so uncomfortable than anything. But like I said, just I've been rehabbing 2-3 times a day the last 2 days and you know, spent a lot of time in there in ice and doing a lot of movement stuff. And it's definitely feeling better than it was, obviously, on game day and in the last few days.
Are you talking about your chest or your shoulder?
Yeah, it's chest, rib area. And just... like I said, it's not a whole lot of movements that make it too sore, but throwing obviously is one of them. But just continue to make it feel better and get some throws in today and get some work in today and see where it goes.
So when you said you hurt something on that hit, what did that turn out to be?
Yeah, I mean, at first I thought it was my shoulder the way I landed. And you know, like I said, I heard a weird noise and didn't know what it was. And so I didn't want to move my shoulder because I didn't know exactly what it was. And then I started feeling pain in the chest, rib area. And it was kind of got shortness of breath and it was just really uncomfortable. And luckily, like I said, though, there was no break and it was just, you know, very uncomfortable feeling. And like I said, I tried to go back in and I fought with the trainers to go back in, but the smart move was, you know, to stay out.
So at this point, do you think you'll be ready to start on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking it day to day right now. That's the plan. That's my goal, obviously, is to be ready to go on Sunday. But I got to, you know, get through practice first and go day to day and just see how it feels. You know, getting a full rep practice today, getting to throw pads on and see how it goes.
So, Cody, you said it does hurt when you make a throw.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily hurt. It's just a little uncomfortable. But that's just obviously getting better. It's better than it was. It feels a lot better than it was a couple days ago, the past few days. But, you know, I just continue to rehab it and, you know, eliminate that pain and do whatever I can to you know, speed up the recovery.
How exactly do you rehab?
Just different movements that are uncomfortable maybe, just kind of rep those and do different things and, you know, continue to keep the shoulder loose too in that area and a ton of ice.
Right side or left side? Is it the right side or left side?
Left side.
And is it a situation where you might have to wear a flak jacket or something like that?
I'm not sure. That'll be up obviously to the trainers. But, you know, my main goal, my main focus right now is just getting ready to play Sunday. And whether I get a ton of reps there or whatever it may be or just how comfortable it feels, I still want to continue to stay in it mentally and you know, get as many mental reps as I can if I'm not in there.
If you were healthy enough to go, I mean, do you think you're still the quarterback or with McCown coming back? Is it a question?
I mean, my plan is the same as it's always been, just continue to prepare. And that's obviously Coach Jackson's decision, and he makes a call on all those, but I'm going to continue to keep the same process and continue to prepare like I have the last few weeks.
Cody, before you got hurt, you guys put a nice drive together. Mm-hmm. What did you like most about that drive? It seemed like you maybe ad-libbed on a couple plays and did some other things outside the pocket.
Yeah, it was just for me, you know, just getting more comfortable, like I said, after the game. You know, just starting to feel more comfortable the more and more reps I get in game situations. And it was unfortunate. You know, I was very upset because we were moving the ball really well on that drive and getting into a rhythm. And unfortunately, you know, obviously I had to come out. But I'm just getting more comfortable with the offense, you know, getting more comfortable with Terrell and Hawk and the other receivers and running backs in there and just, you know, getting more in the rhythm of the game.
Did you talk to Drango about working a little harder to get open?
Yeah. No, they covered it well. We were hoping to get man on that play, but and he was excited all week, so it was unfortunate. But good job of Hot. You know, we practiced all week with it. Was you know getting Drango the ball, and you know obviously they covered it well and played zone, and Hawk did a great job of coming back to the ball and helping me out.
How far downfield would that throw have been?
I'm not sure. Depending on how fast he got out, I guess. But you don't want to get it to him probably not too deep and not make him work too hard. Just get it to him pretty quick. But like I said, they had a great call for that, and it didn't work out.
How well do you know Marcus Mariota, and what would it be like for you to kind of go up against him, and what do you think of him?
Yeah, I never got to play against him in college, unfortunately. But, you know, I got to know him over stuff like the Manning camps in Louisiana and different quarterback camps and stuff like that. But he's awesome. You know, we became, you know, good friends, and you know, we talked throughout the season. His last year, we got to talk a lot and everything, but it'll be exciting. You know, he played in the Pac-12, and you know, I played in the Pac-12, so it's going to be an exciting game. And he's a great quarterback. You know, he's a great player, and he can put up a lot of points, you know, so you got to be very effective on offense.
How is it you didn't play against them? Have you guys played?
Yeah, we switch. When they're not a Pac-12 South team, we switch every 2 years. So my sophomore year and junior year, we played Oregon State both years instead of Oregon. And then when we did play Oregon my senior year, he was already gone. So when we played against him, I wasn't the starter yet. Let me say that. So my redshirt freshman year, when Matt Barkley was still there, we played against him, but I wasn't playing.
How much more do the hits hurt in the NFL than in the Pac-12?
I mean, it depends. Obviously, there's some hits like that one, you know, that you know, you can't do anything about, and you know, he made a great play on it, and definitely was in some pain. But yeah, I mean, the guys in the NFL are bigger, faster, stronger. But you know, you got to continue to protect yourself and be smart with the football, and you know, try to eliminate some of those hits.
What happened on that play? I mean, he just kind of shot through.
Yeah, just like I said, they called the right defense at the right time, and you know, we were hoping to get man on that, and hoping he was going to be man on the back, but. He ran through, and you know, the one thing that we didn't want them to do, they called, and they made a great play.
How have you always been like this, where, you know, you'll play hurt, you'll sacrifice your body, or have you gotten some inspiration from watching how Josh McCown?
Yeah, and that's what I talked to Josh after. Was what made me so upset was, you know, I watched him a couple weeks ago, you know, refuse to come out, and I was trying to do that. I was trying to go back in and you know, begging them to let me go back in, but at the same time, you know, they were saying, you know, you got to think longevity. You know, you don't want to go in and make it worse and be out longer, you know, and continue to get hit there or something happen again where it gets worse. So, you know, I had to accept that, and unfortunately, you know, I didn't get to go back in, but that one hurt me really bad not being able to go back in there.
Having said that, Cody, is there any consideration to giving it one full week, or actually 2 weeks, and just not playing this week so you get back to 100%?
I'm just day to day, you know, like Coach said. My goal, obviously, completely is to come back this week. You know, I want to be back on the field as fast as I can and get ready to play. But, you know, that'll be Coach's decision and the decision of the trainers to see where I'm at. And obviously, today at practice, we'll, you know, I'll get to get some reps in there and throw and see how it feels, you know, getting full speed reps and throwing football.
How would you take it if Coach decided to go back for Josh?
I just continue to work, you know, continue to learn from Josh, continue to try to get better each week. And, not change anything, you know, keep my same process and the way I was the first 2 weeks, you know, continue to stay prepared and you know, not get, you know, satisfied with anything, and just continue to keep working harder and trying to get better.
Can they quantify, you know, the injury? Is there, you know, go on a Cybex test and measure strength or anything like that?
I think it's just more so how I feel. That's kind of what they've been measuring or asking me is, you know, day to day, how much, you know, sore is it and how does it feel, you know, each day and it's been better. It's just a good thing. It's gotten better each day, and that's something that I want to keep doing is, you know, keep improving until we get to Sunday.
So you have a gut feeling, and like right now, if you had to say it'll be okay for Sunday, do you have a gut feeling on it?
I mean, that's what my mindset is. But you know, it's hard to say with the game, you know, being a couple of days away. But like I said, that's my main goal is to do as much rehab and treatment as necessary and get back as fast as I can.
Were you pleasantly surprised on Monday how it felt?
Yeah. I mean, it still hurt, you know. Sunday night after the game was pretty painful, and Monday was a little better, and that's where I got to do some treatment that day. And throughout the day, Monday started feeling better, But it was still, pretty painful. But it's like I said, it's gotten progressively better each day, which is positive.
Would you, with the way that that you came back and answered Tom Brady's touchdown with that nice drive, would you like to believe that had you not gotten knocked out of the game, that you guys might have been able to keep it rolling a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's what upset me the most was we were getting, like I said, getting a rhythm there on offense and moving the ball. And obviously, they're a great offense, and Tom Brady's a great quarterback, and they did a lot of things offensively that we would have to continue to fight through when we got the ball and keep putting points up. But that's something that you don't know for sure because of the situation that happened. But where we were at that point in the game and having that long drive and establishing, the pass game, be able to move the ball was something that was a positive. And obviously, I would have loved to continue to, stay in the game and build off of that, but unfortunately, we're going to have to come out.
That's Cody Kessler going to tough it out there. I expect him to be out there on Sunday for the Cleveland Browns against the Tennessee Titans. And, an interesting question was raised to me by Joe Kovacs on Twitter. And tell me what you think about this. We know that Josh, if Josh were able to go, and perhaps he might not be ready yet this week, he's in a fragile state, right? You're coming back off of this injury.
Josh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cody is in a banged up state.
Correct.
You've now lost Joel Bitonio. Do you trot out a quarterback who's a less than 100% behind a less than 100% offensive line, or would do you say, all right, let's throw Hogan out there because he's healthy?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. It was an interesting take,
and I can understand why you pose a question like that. But just as as I talk about those percentage of how healthy you are, that's the same deliberation that I had with is an 85% Josh McCown, better than a 90% Cody Kessler. If you take the mentality for me was you play Josh McCown because I think if Josh McCown in Hugh Jackson's mind gives you the best chance to win, that's what we're chasing. We're not chasing development. We are chasing victories because that is the mentality of our ownership. That is the mentality of Hugh Jackson, our head football coach. Now, Sashi Brown, Paul D. Podesta, Andrew Berry, they don't make the decisions. Those decisions essentially are done. The final 53 is set. This is when Hugh Jackson earns his keep as a head football coach, is right now. He gets paid to make these decisions. And they're chasing a victory. They are not chasing what's best, to earn us the number one pick next year. Or what's best to develop Cody Kessler by throwing him out there. No, it's how can we go to Nashville and win a football game?
And win.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. You get the monkey off your back. I'm sure Hugh Jackson, wants to feel that first victory as the head football coach of the Cleveland Browns, the satisfaction that comes with it since, taking this job 8 months ago. And he's got 53 other hungry young men wanting to do the same thing.
And they've got to find a way to get it done because after this game, it gets no easier at Cincy on October the 23rd. And then you're home for four of the next five games. Jets, Cowboys, one of the best teams in the league. Of course, you're at the Ravens on Thursday night, home for the Steelers, home for the Giants. And then all of a sudden, you're at the 12-game mark there for the Browns. This is an important game, I think, for the Browns to come out and get a victory against the Tennessee Titans, a team they've beaten each of the last 2 years. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Don't forget to call the show or to tweet us because it is Mailbag Wednesday using the hashtag AskCBD. Again, the hashtag AskCBD. And we'll get to those questions when we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
There ain't no secrets anymore.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm with you here. We're going to go to the phone lines now, 216-578-0850. Let's start with AJ in New Franklin. AJ, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Nathan and Matt. Hey,
with
Mariota having better numbers, being pressured, will we more likely blitz less and play more of a zone defense? And then I got a golf question for you, Nathan, if I may.
All right. Well, let's start with I think you've got to try to stop the run. And one of the things the Titans are going to do is try to run the ball so they can utilize play action. The Browns, in five out of the five games, in two of the games, they've given up a perfect quarterback rating, 158.3 to opposing quarterbacks when using play action. That is a problem. That is not good.
Scary.
So I don't. Do you play zone to combat that? Does that help you?
Yes, it does. Zone slows you down because I think when you play man to man, you feel like you're in a hurry. Whereas zone, you kind of step then react to your zone. Whereas man, you feel like you're more apt to chase.
Okay.
And go ahead with your golf question.
Yeah, a little golf.
Well, Nathan, you're playing in the Ryder Cup. Would you prefer the driver, the wedge, or the putter?
Well, you drive for show, you putt for dough. So I would say the putter would be my number one weapon. But I'm a fine ball striker. I would go driver and putter. I don't get the foul. Why didn't you let him follow that up, Fontana? We didn't even know where he was going with that.
This is our show. We don't do that to callers. I know RBS. You guys are all anti-caller. I know the clowns that come on after us. You know, just want to hear themselves talk. We are not of that nature.
I'm sorry. I thought he was done with his point.
What was his point,
though? That's what I'm saying. Like, in the Ryder Cup, he knows that you use all your clubs, right?
I was assuming so. That's why I wanted to know where he was going with this.
Sorry.
He was trying to say, what's the money club?
I think maybe it was like, what would you want to do? Like, what would your job be in a scramble, maybe? I don't know.
In the Ryder Cup? Well, it could be an alternate shot.
Would you rather hit a clutch drive, a clutch chip inside 10 feet, or be the guy that makes the clutch 15-foot putt?
Because a putt is actually a guarantee. Like, you could hit a great drive and then not hit a good next shot. It doesn't guarantee you anything on the hole.
But, like, your team needs you to do one thing. What
make
would you
a putt, because that is an act, that's like making a shot.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, making a putt is like, it's in. That's scored. You've scored.
Right.
You could hit a great drive and make a par, but if you one putt and you hit the green regulation, you're making birdie every time.
There you
go. Putt. Yeah. Bob in Millersburg loved your description of the show after us. 216-578-0850. Travis in Medina. Travis.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Travis.
I mean, obviously we've hit the panic button, but really, truly, what can be the next Browns moves? We're looking at potentially the fifth quarterback in as many games. Our defense is shown nothing but to be Swiss cheese. So truly, where can the focus be? I think I have a lot of confidence in Sashi and Hugh and the direction and how they're trying to build, but we've got to put a cornerstone that you can build around on this team. Where do you go with that? Is it on the offensive side or on the defensive side?
In the draft, you should. Look, you're going to have two first-round picks. You're going to have two second-round picks. You should have the opportunity to add cornerstones on both sides of the ball. I think getting a quarterback is the number one priority for this team. I think it always will be the number one priority for this team until they do it. And I think that after, you know, not getting Carson Wentz this year, I think they've got an opportunity to rectify that next year. You've got to get a quarterback. But one of our mailbag questions talks about if Myles Garrett is, you know, the next Lawrence Taylor, do you pass on him for a quarterback that is, you know, you like, but you're not like, this guy is not Andrew Luck or Aaron Rodgers, et cetera. So that's something that they will be confronted with, and we'll see what happens.
Right,
there.
And I think, you know, the closest thing that, you know, to that guy and based around the way he's played through two seasons has been the kid out in Oakland, Khalil Mack, and him as a player and how disruptive he is. Now, you know, last year was an all-pro defensive end as well as an all-pro outside linebacker. Hasn't quite been putting up the numbers this year, but everyone around him in that defense is playing very well.
Yeah, and you certainly right, but does that matter? Is that enough? And I'd go back to J.J. Watt. Last year, dominant, didn't have a quarterback, first-round exit in the playoffs. I still think you need that quarterback.
I'm not an advocate to go defense and get that guy, because just as you know, Jared Goff going number one overall, it is not certain he's going to be a franchise quarterback and be the guy.
No, it is
right?
not certain.
And I think that, and neither is, you know, what is his name? Myles Garrett? Neither is Myles Garrett. All signs point for him to be an animal. You know, an Aaron Donald, a Mario Williams early in his career, a Julius Peppers early in his career. But what if he's just a guy? And you look at the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, Nick Farrelly and Tyson Jackson, all the investments inside the top, I want to say seven, they made in that defensive line. And in a matter of 3 years, all those guys were playing for someone else. So it's a crapshoot just like it is at quarterback.
It is. I think you just got to swing it and take your swings at quarterback until you get it.
And the reason, and even furthermore, is you've got Hugh Jackson. You've got Pep Hamilton.
Okay, you've got Al Saunders as your wide receiver coach.
You've got the infrastructure.
Correct.
Like they do in Philly.
Absolutely. You have the infrastructure to bring this guy along. You hope, you know, they make the right judgment decision to whether you thrust him into action or he waits and maybe starts week six after, you know, if he's not quite there yet. But like I said, the same way in life, there are, you know, whoever you look up to, like, gosh, wouldn't I would love to walk around with like Bill Gates or Warren Buffett on stock tips, you know, for a day and just steal little nuggets and go apply them in my life, okay? You're drafted number one overall. Cody Kessler drafted in the third round. Spends time with Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton and Al Saunders, who've got 100 years roughly, you know, worth of a high-level coaching experience on the offensive level, dealing with quarterbacks and around offense in the National Football League level at a high level. You get those nuggets every day. So imagine the organization makes the investment in that player and he has those nuggets every single day. Your scouts, he's passed the eye test. He's passed, you know, the combine test, the Wonderlic. He's a good person off the field. All signs point towards it being a very good thing, and you bring him here in the right atmosphere.
Yeah, get him here. He's in the right atmosphere. And by the way, I was talking to somebody who knows some people in the Rams organization that there are grumblings in that organization that people, players, et cetera, think Goff is better than Keenum and want Goff to play, and Jeff Fisher does not want to play his rookie quarterback this year, which I don't understand why.
And even furthermore, now that they're 3-1?
Three and two.
3-2, it creates an even larger divide, well, you know, for Jeff Fisher. He can say, hey, I'm three and two.
Yeah.
You know, we're closer to 9-7 than we are 7-9.
Some 8-8. That's some 8-8 stuff.
7-9.
That's some 7-9. All right, let's go to the phones back again. Did we go to Dan in downtown yet? Dan. Be patient with him, Fontana. Go ahead, Dan.
Yo, Nathan, what's good, man?
Not too much, man. How are you?
I just watched the game again for the third time, right?
I love it.
I'm just going through. There's a lot of stuff the defense got to clean up on. I think if Kessler was in the game, defense one or two stops, we'd be right in it. But when you give Brady short field on all the other crap, it's just, I mean, what do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think the biggest thing they've got to clean up is the performance against play action and the peaking, too much peaking in the backfield.
Yes. And that is just, that is discipline. That is eye control.
I think
having eye control is a discipline. Look at your work. That's the best thing that I can do is look at what you're supposed to be looking at, and you'd be surprised how often you make a play.
I just don't think we need to be throwing rose petals at Brady and Belichick. I just think we need to clean up our stuff, and it would have been a competitive game. And I think Joe Hayden needs to move to safety, and Horton got to be on the hot seat.
You know, I think at times I've been very pleased with this defense, and then at other times it is head-scratching. I think Joe Hayden showed the good speed to catch up to Hogan after he let him get by him. I don't know if he's ready to move to safety, but it's something that's being talked about all of a sudden by a lot of people, which is interesting to me. I don't know where it came from, but you certainly can see why that is potentially out there, and that's something that teams are thinking about and something that obviously the Browns might be thinking about moving forward with him at that spot, you know, in the future. I don't think that's this year.
No, it is not.
And you
this
need
year.
To get some more corners. I mean, I know Brian Body Calhoun has come up and he's looked nice. Jamar Taylor's played well, but you know, if all of a sudden you move Joe Hayden to free safety, which I think he could be an excellent free safety, you got to get some corners. You got to get some people that can play at that position. Now you're gonna have an opportunity to draft. Maybe you draft two corners with your first four picks next year.
And you think about none of them were elite corners, but you think of Charles Gaines, Pierre Desir, Justin Gilbert, you know, three guys that we invested draft picks in over the last, you know, 48 months, no longer in uniform, and now you're talking about Joe Hayden to safety, and you're looking for corners.
You are looking for corners indeed. Yes, you are. And, man, I think it's a good thing you have those picks because you do have some needs. You're going to need some defensive backs, whether they're corners or a free safety, a true free safety, and I wouldn't mind seeing one of those guys taken early. I think you're going to need to invest in a true dollar linebacker. I think that is something that tight ends are the Achilles heel of this defense right now. And back in 2013 when Ray Horton was here the first time, tight ends had some big games.
Here's my biggest thing when it comes to tight ends. And again, it's relevant to me on the high school level because it's what I'm coaching these guys. It is that whole eye control factor. But there is something to be said about the free release versus the physical you know, beating and battering of a tight end. And it, and in some cases, what happens is, as and I'm just giving putting myself out there, when I learned the hard lessons of practicing against Antonio Gates every day and against Tony Gonzalez, is you give these crafty vets space, you will lose 9 times out of 10. And that's Tom Brady throwing it, Cody Kessler throwing it, Nathan, you throwing it. These guys are so good. They're so physical. They're deceptively fast and deceptively elusive. And they have body control like LeBron James as a shooting guard in the NBA. They're just shifty and crafty, and they create space with the little nudges that never gets called, those little things. And so
The veteran tricks of the trade.
Veteran tricks of the trade, absolutely. So what my point is the more physical you can be at the line of scrimmage and beat this guy up and batter him, a quarterback like Tom Brady who wants to deliver the football in a shade over 2 seconds will come off that read and go somewhere else with the football. And if I'm Christian Kirksey, DeMario Davis, my box is getting checked. Job well done. Now, is Jamar Taylor doing his job? Is, you know, Jordan Poyer, Derek Kindred, Ibrahim Campbell doing their job? I can't control them. I can control what I can control. And we were close, and we were, but we were giving them too much wiggle room to play with. And how do you do that? You have confidence in yourself, but you can't overestimate your ability and underestimate theirs to the point where you think you're going to make every play. Because Martellus Bennett and Rob Gronkowski, throughout their 6, 7, 8 year career, have got it done. And I think for us, it's like DeMario Davis, you know, year 5, Christian Kirksey starting for the first time. We think we got it, but every single weekend against elite tight ends, it's proven that we don't.
So far, and another big one comes to town. Well, we go to his town,
Delaney
Walker.
Delaney's a beast.
This weekend.
Delaney Walker is going to be the fastest tight end we cover this season.
And he's a great run blocker.
And he's a great
run blocker.
Because he plays the football game angry. Delaney Walker was the backup tight end in San Francisco behind Vernon Davis when I was with him.
We'll call him the second tight end. He was a lot of two tight ends, but yes, you're right.
Second tight end. You're absolutely right. But, I mean, he played on special teams angry. When he got an opportunity, he played angry, and he blocks the same way because he's one of those guys that doesn't want to be formationed off the field. He doesn't want to give their coach, Malarkey, an opportunity to get him off the field because I got to put Delaney on the backside, and we're going to run it right, and he's going to line on the left. Or when we go, you know, one tight end, I got to bring this guy in because I want to run it. No, Delaney Walker wants to be on the football field because there's a tenacity about how he plays.
He has been a positive, which is a bright green graded Pro Football Focus run blocking tight end every year. He has been in the league in a prominent role since 2009. He is overall graded positively, and he has just been an incredibly productive guy. And you look at him as a receiver since coming to Tennessee, because before that he really was not a big factor in the passing game. But since coming to Tennessee the last two seasons, he had 63 catches for 890 yards in 2014, 94 catches for 1,088 yards and 6 touchdowns a year ago. This year, he's caught 16 balls for 225 yards. Already, he's averaging 14.1 yards per catch, top mark for him since 2008. And he's a guy who creates yards after the catch, about 5 yards after the catch per reception. That is a very impressive number for a tight end. When we come back, we will start our number two on this show. We still got time to get in the mailbag, so tweet us your questions using the hashtag AskCBD. Also, be sure to hit us up, 216-578-0850. When we come back in hour number two, we've got After Further Review. We've got the mailbag. We've got Andrew Gribble. We've got your calls and more here on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.